Maybe one of the ushers can help you out with it. I think I grabbed one. We've been talking about different standards. Pastor Vogelin did about 18 weeks on wine, and we started that in 2006. And then he started Appearance. But we're taking a pause from it. Actually, I think it fits with our month in August. August, we talk about money a lot of times. And so this morning, we're going to look at the idea of gambling. What does the Bible say about gambling? And actually, you will not find the word gambling in the Bible. You will not find the word lottery. You will find the word, I think, casting lots, all right? But you'll find a lot, you know, a lot. But you won't find the word gambling. So we're going to look at that idea. Also, speaking about money, pray for Dave Olson. Hopefully by the end of August, he finished up a book called Money by the Book. And this is actually the first draft. So we've been proofing it. We're hoping to get it done in about 2 to 3 weeks. So it'll be done for the stewardship month. It's actually, I've been asking him for a year and a half to finish this up. And God gave him an opening about a month ago to finish it up. And it's so far, it's really good. There's not a lot of comprehensive writing in regards to money and the Bible. You know, some people, like Dave Ramsey, we sell Dave Ramsey's books in the bookstore. But I wouldn't necessarily call him a fundamental Christian. But Dave Olson actually gives a good philosophy because a lot of times, and that's what he does as far as the intro, we talked about it probably a year ago, and he's able to put the things in writing better than I can. But a lot of times when it comes to money and a Christian, what's taught is you've got to budget, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. And the reason is, and you know what the reason is, because later you'll be a millionaire. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. And yet I have talked to numerous Christians, some even in our church, that the whole reason they're budgeting is to be rich. That you will not find in the Bible. The Bible says that you should be content. The Bible says that God gives me things so that I can be a channel. And so my idea of saving and putting things away is not so that someday I can get what I deserve. You think about that. I know a lot of Christians, and in fact, that's kind of the Dave Ramsey idea. Dave Ramsey idea is kind of the idea that you save, you put away, and yeah, you give a little bit. That's okay. And most of them, all they do say is, make sure to tithe. That's what most books written about money will tell you to do. But when you put a biblical perspective on money, what you'll find is all is God's. All is God's. And whatever God wants me to do with what he has, it's up to him. So we're going to look at the idea of gambling, though. If you have your Bibles, turn to Haggai chapter 2. And I understand it is kind of hard to find that one. It's in between Zephaniah and Zechariah. Okay, so if you get to Malachi, you went too far. All right, so Zephaniah, then it's Haggai, then Zechariah. Okay, so Haggai chapter 2, and we're just going to read one verse. And then hopefully we have seven principles we're going to try to get through. So we time them all, all right? We time them all because even if we don't get all of them completely covered, then what you can do is in your own study, try to look at it. Okay, in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." That's where we start out. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. It's all God's. Let me give you some facts. The National Council on Problem Gambling which is kind of odd because there's a national council of that, and basically all gambling is sponsored by the government. So because it's sponsored by the government, then you got to have a council that says that it's bad. But let me give you some stats. 15% of Americans, and this is pretty current. This is probably within 2 to 3 years. I tried to go, and sometimes you get stats, and it's hard because it's done 15 years ago. But these are pretty current. 15% of Americans gamble at least once a week. All but two states have some form of legalized gambling. 43 states, and this was as of the last couple of years, 43 states have lotteries. 2 to 3% of Americans meet the criteria for problem gambling, and that's around 6 million adults in America. That's not children, it's 6 million adults. And they say there's about 500,000 teenagers that are involved in problem gambling. Youth, teenagers, develop a gambling problem at a rate about 2 to 3 times that of adults. So if a young person gets caught up in gambling, it's more than likely that they're going to get addicted. The younger, the more apt. And that's always the case with sin. The devil, I know older folks can get addicted to different things, but you know what most of sin, most of what they're going after is a young person. Why? Because if they can get that person addicted, they got them almost the rest of their life. About 40% of people with a gambling problem, think about this, 40% started before the age of 17. So that's what we're saying. And of course, Nevada has the highest prevalence of problem gambling in the country. That's not a shocker, I don't think, to you. All right, online, this is what was amazing to me. In the world, and this one is 5 years old, in the world, online gambling is $30 billion a year. That was 5 years ago. Okay. Morgan Stanley projected that just in the United States, online gambling would be near $10 billion by 2020. All right, that's a lot of money. And it's just online gambling. There are many harmful effects that arise from gambling. Now think about this, I would think that the National Council of Problem Gambling is probably going to lower the stats, but they say that crime, addiction, bankruptcy accounts for $17 billion a year just in America. That's how much it costs Americans, $17 billion. 76% of problem gamblers are likely to be depressed. That's not shocking. And then children of problem gamblers are higher. There's a higher risk for them to be involved in gambling, tobacco use, and drug use. And so there's a lot of problems there. Americans. And think about these numbers. Again, numbers can sometimes get old, but we're just trying to throw some of these out here so you understand the scope of it. Americans throw away close to $100 billion a year in casinos and playing lotteries. $100 billion. And this only includes legal gambling. It's only legal gambling. They estimate that illegal gambling is close to $60 to $70 billion. So just in America, you get about $170 billion. And what is the big cry? They say, like lotteries. I forgot how much lotteries. I think they say the lottery is $50 to $60 billion a year. And the whole reason you're doing that is because you're trying to help education. What I say is, if you really want to help education, just take half of that, $25 billion, and just give it. That'd be a lot easier. But it goes against the principles that we're going to be teaching. They're not doing it for education. Otherwise, they'd walk down to the school and just hand them a check, right? But what does gambling do? Gambling is covetousness. So the only reason they're giving it is why? Because they want something that they don't deserve. They want something free. They want something that somebody else has. That's covetousness. And one of the most disturbing trends to me in America is what we call the sanitizing or familyizing of gambling. Oh, that's just, it's so nice. No, it's not. All right, most that have been known something about gambling, I mean, it's always been associated with horrible things. Okay, so we're gonna look at this. So what does the Bible say about gambling? Well, gambling, as we mentioned, is not mentioned in the Bible. There's not a lot that you can go through and say, oh, I think that's gambling. But what you can do is go and find principles then. The Bible does not say thou shalt not gamble. It also does not say thou shalt not use cocaine. It doesn't say either of those. Most of us sitting here would say, well, yeah, you're not going to use cocaine. Yeah, I'm not going to gamble either. Why? Because I can go to the Bible and I can get principles, and we listed out seven here this morning. So seven principles that show you biblically why gambling is wrong. First of all, gambling demonstrates our dissatisfaction with God's provision. It demonstrates our dissatisfaction with God's provision. So let's list a couple of verses out to help us with that. First is Philippians 4:19. What does Philippians 4:19 say? What does it say? But my God shall supply what? All of my need, all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So that's one passage that we have, that I am supposed to rely on God. So going and gambling is saying that God is not going to provide. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the roulette wheel. I'm going to gamble a little bit. I'm going to play the lottery, and then I'm going to get millions of dollars, and that's how God's going to take. No, 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 you're relying on something else. I should be able to rely on God's provision for myself. In Matthew 6, another passage, Matthew 6, last week we dealt with 19 through 24 in our morning message. In verse 25, Matthew 6:25, it says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, in the area of gambling, one principle when I come to the Word of God is that gambling demonstrates that I am dissatisfied with God's provision. I'm saying God cannot supply my needs, so I got to go out there and I've got to squander my substance. Right, that's just point number one. So, point number two, gambling promotes a luck ethic. Luck. Okay? So first, gambling demonstrates our dissatisfaction with God's provision. Secondly, gambling promotes a luck ethic. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, when we go to the Bible, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9. Exodus 20 and verse 9. All right, in the Ten Commandments. It says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do your work. Oh, we don't like that. Oh, yes. The four-letter cuss word. Work. Okay? 6 days you're supposed to labor and work. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 3. It's actually verses 10 through 12. We're using Scripture here, trying to gain understanding in the area of finances on Scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command, and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So gambling promotes a luck ethic. What do we mean by that? That, you know what? I don't have to work. I can go out there and I can make a fortune. By what? By somebody else's means? By not the sweat of my own brow? All right, in Genesis, that's what God, remember when he sent Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, he said, by the sweat of the brow, you're going to earn your keep now. By the sweat of the brow. Many today, what do they want? They don't want a hard day's work. All right, we always joke about it. You know, marching outside, you know, more pay, less work. All right, sometime you need to get out there right next to them. More work, less pay. All right next to those union guys. Like, shame on, you know, I was driving by, you know, it always cracks me up. I was out in Valpo, I was driving by a place, I think it was Gordman's or something, they're building a Gordman's, and they have that huge sign out there, shame on you. And what was cracking me up, the guys were half asleep, they were just standing here, you know, the one's got his earbuds on, he's like this, and I felt like yelling, like, shame on you, you lazy slug. I mean, look at you. I mean, go get a real job. All right, and more than likely, they're getting paid, you know, to just stand there and do nothing. So I feel like getting my own sign and stand on it. Shame on this guy. He's a loser. He doesn't want to work, and he wants paid. All right, but that's our society today. But what does God tell you to do? All right, get your hands dirty. All right, get off your duff and start working a little bit. And when we work, you have the satisfaction of work. As far as just work in itself is its own reward. It really is. God made that to be something good. Remember Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden. Remember Adam? Hello? A nurse. Need a nurse. There you go. Cheryl's coming. All right, but when it comes to work, all right, here in this, gambling promotes a luck ethic. What's the luck ethic? That I shouldn't have to work. I need this free. No, that's wrong. That is not a biblical concept. That is not a biblical philosophy. It's that I should be able to go out and work, and then God will provide for me. That's one way God provides for me. So we have two principles already building here. Gambling demonstrates our dissatisfaction with God's provision. Secondly, gambling promotes a luck ethic. Thirdly, gambling denies the lordship of Christ. What do we mean by that? Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord. Romans 14:12, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. God gives us possessions and wealth, and let me give you these. You might not have all the space. As far as the lordship of Christ, what I'm going to do is I'm submitting myself to my Lord and Savior, so I need to go to him and find out, why does God give me wealth? Well, in the Bible, You find, and I'll just quickly go through these because this is only point three. Okay? God gives us possession and wealth for four reasons. Number one, to supply personal and family needs. We already read the one verse, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Another verse is 1 Timothy 5:8. God gives me wealth to take care of my family, take care of my personal needs. Then, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 through 3, 2 Corinthians 8, and 2 Corinthians 9, God gives me wealth to not only supply for my personal and family needs, he gives me wealth to contribute to God's work on the earth. So by going to God, he is my Lord and Savior, I'm going to find out what his plan for money is. Why I'm submitting to the Lordship of Christ. By submitting to him, I go to the Word of God and say, so why do you give me money? To provide for my needs, to help in God's work. That's according to the Bible. In John 13 and verse 29, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, and 2 Corinthians 9, the other reason is to help the poor and the needy. It is right to help the poor and the needy. That's a biblical reason for God giving us wealth. All right? It is not, and actually that's an individual thing. It's a Christian thing and it's a church thing, I believe. If you look biblically, I believe as individual Christians and then as a church, one of our responsibilities is to help others, to help those in need. I do not think that the government is my daddy. All right, some people think the government is their daddy, is their God. I do not believe that God established government to take care of the needy. You do not find that biblically. In fact, what you find biblically is that government was established to create order and to protect. All right, that's what you find biblically. Government was not created to put food on people's plates. What they're supposed to do, if a nation has a biblical view, what they do is go out and work. 6 days you're supposed to labor. Get out, get a job. That's number one. Then if somebody truly has a problem, I don't have a problem helping somebody. There are people that have physical ailments, things that they can't provide. But you know what? There's enough of us that have able bodies, and we can help people like that. And what happens when it's left to the individual and the local church? It gets a lot of the riffraff out. Right? It's not this big bureaucracy. And it solves the problem. So God gives me possessions to supply my personal family needs, to contribute to God's work on the earth, to help the poor and needy. All right? And according to Romans 13 and verse 7, I may not like this, but even biblically, it is okay, biblically, for me to give taxes to the government. All right, Matthew 22 and Romans chapter 13, there are some people that march against taxes and all that, but biblically, remember, Jesus paid his taxes. That was something that had to be done. It wasn't condoning it necessarily, but it's not saying that it's, I live in a country that requires taxes, so am I supposed to, you know what, that's mine. No. No, Jesus says, I'll provide your needs. This is part of it, so you take care of it. Right? There's nothing wrong with voting so your taxes get less. I'm not saying that you have to be happy that they're taking 75% of your income. No, that's not what the Bible is saying, but governments will take those things. Remember when Samuel came to the children of Israel and they wanted a king to be like all the other nations? That was one of the things that he told them. He said, you want a king? Guess what's going to happen? He's going to take your lands. He's going to take your possessions. He's going to take your kids. He's going to take all this. But they still said, no, we still want it. Well, that was their choice. They had then had to submit to it. Whew. All right, here we go. That was just point three. All right, point three. Number one, gambling demonstrates our dissatisfaction with God's provision. Two, gambling promotes a luck ethic. Three, gambling denies the lordship of Christ. Four, gambling is against the Ten Commandments. There's two of them. What are the two? I think the first one is, thou shalt not steal. You'd say, how is that possible? Well, two men walk into an alley. Okay? One has a gun, and one doesn't. And what happens? The one walks out with the other man's money. Okay? Two men walk into a casino. One man has a pair of dice. What happens? The other man walks out with the other man's money. I think it's the same thing. I think it's stealing. All right? Just because I have a pair of dice there and roll it down, and all of a sudden, oh, well, that money is mine. No, I think you just stole it. That's what I think. Okay? I think it goes against the idea of possessions. Okay? The second law, as far as the Ten Commandments, that one's the next one's very easy. What is that? Thou shalt not covet. The man that is gambling, what is he desiring? Is he desiring to lose money? Oh, no. You know he's not. What is he desiring? He's desiring to gain what another man earned. That's covetousness. Sorry. Straight out covetousness. You're not going there and saying, oh, you know what? No, I'm just hoping that, you know, all of us will be happy. Well, somebody is going to lose. And you're hoping it's not you. You're hoping it's this guy next to you. That's covetousness. Thou shalt not covet. Gambling breaks the spirit of the commandments. Because gambling, in essence, is robbery by mutual consent. Changing hands of wealth. It's not a gift. Right? There's not giving going on in casinos. Okay? One man put it this way. The man who gambles and wins is a thief. The man who gambles and loses is a fool. All right? So either way, there's a whole lot of stupidity going on and breaking of the Ten Commandments. So that was number four. Number five, gambling does not glorify God. Oh, come on now. All the righteous people out there saying, you know what, it's just a family thing. We're just going, all right, get out of here. Gambling does not glorify God. And that's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 and verse 23. And whatsoever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, and then later on, he tells us again, everything we do should give glory to the Lord. That's Colossians 3, 17 and 23. And you have government promoting this idea of gambling, and at the same time, don't know why we have an awful problem with welfare. Virgil Peterson used to be crime commissioner in Chicago. He said this, all right, crime commissioner in Chicago, gambling produces no wealth. It redistributes it from the hands of the many to the hands of the few. Gambling invariably leads to higher police and welfare cost. That was the police commissioner or the crime commissioner in Chicago. Senator Wiley was from Wisconsin. He said the idea that legalized gambling will be a revenue raiser is an illusion. Every dollar raised from such sources means $5 spent in higher police costs, court costs, penitentiary costs, and relief costs. All right? And over, Nevada. All right, listen to this. Dorkman from Nevada. If you don't know who that is, that's Harry Reid. This is what he told the chairman of the Nevada Gaming Commission. Any state trying to follow Nevada's lead will find that social costs far outweigh any economic advantage. That's Harry Reid. I think that was the first truth that ever came out of his mouth. First time anything ever really intelligent came out of his mouth. Herbert Jenkins was president of the International Association of Police Chiefs. He said, for every dollar received from gambling, government spends $10 fighting problems directly related to legalized gambling. What are they? Prostitution, embezzlement, bad checks, police corruption, racketeers, and mobsters. He said, all of this sordid business comes with gambling. All right? And think about this. This is proven. The biggest day of the month in Atlantic City's gaming tables. The biggest day of the month in the Atlantic City gaming tables. You know what it is? The day after welfare checks come out. The day after the deposit is made. It's the biggest day. It's proven. Isn't that silly? So tell me, what are they wanting? It's covetousness. Goes back to what we're talking about. So that was number five. Lincoln, we might make it. Number six, gambling cripples our testimony. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearances of evil. Can you honestly say that gambling and a casino and that life is a good testimony? All you got to do is read and some of it. Read about mobsters. Read a little bit of the history of Las Vegas. That was all started with sordid businesses, horrible corruption, and all of it. And that's why we have either that or Atlantic City. They're nicknamed Sin City. All right, that's a good nickname, right? Really good nickname. No, it's not. Why are they called that? Because that's what they are. That's what they are. Gambling cripples your testimony. Okay, then the last one, we're making it. What's the last testimony? And that is the stewardship principle. What is the stewardship principle? What percent of my money actually belongs to God? Trick question, isn't it? What percentage? All of it. So do I have the right then to go and say, you know what? 10% is God. I gave that and I gave them an offering even. So this is my money to go and go to a casino and blow it? And then they use it for what? Booze? All right, and whether we want to admit it or not, then tied to that is prostitution and all kinds of different things. And I say, well, I can do what I want with my... Oh, you better stop. Yeah, as a Christian, I have stewardship principles. And the stewardship principle is that everything God gives me, I'm going to give an account to God. You know, don't get caught up in mob rule. Mob rule, we can read in the book of Acts, sometime read the story of Paul. Remember when he went to Ephesus and he was, basically they had a revival. All kinds of people were getting saved. And what happened? Some of the businesses of ill repute lost business. So they stirred up a mob and they said, get them out of here. Well, in America, we have mob rule today. What do they say? Oh, I mean, come on, what's up with the lottery? Come on, man, we're just trying to help the children. Oh, really? Then take your money and go and turn it in. They don't want that, though. What are they? Covetous. I want to get something. No, you don't want to help the children. It's always a cover, isn't it? It's just like this whole thing with Planned Parenthood right now. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. They're selling. It's always been about that. All right, we're no better than the Hitler regime. And it's all because of science. Isn't that what Hitler said? Selling body parts. And guess what? Now a judge is trying to hold back and say, they can't show that. Why? Because it's disgusting. But mob rule, your life. You know what? It's my choice. Oh, really? So that baby doesn't have a choice? The recent video that was just released, the third one, they have a lady, and when the baby is there, the baby comes out, and it's there, and the lady on tape says, "Man, we've got a boy," and they're getting ready to kill it. I know they're graphic, and I know it's horrible, but guess what? That's reality. And mob rule has said, that's not a life. Yes, it is. And the same way with gambling. Mob rule says, it's okay to do whatever you want with your money. Really? Get to the book. Get to the book, and you know what you'll find? Is that when you line your life up and your finances up by the book, God should have 100% control of it.